The House will be in order. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Wichita.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. At this time, please recognize Representative T. Moore for House File 2081, Representative Lundgren for Senate File 463, Representative Stone for House File 2298, Representative McClintock for House File 2356, Representative Poston for House File 2340, Representative Bossman for House File 2248, and Representative Worthen for House File 2345.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass for opening remarks on House File 2081.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. House File, wait, I need to open this way. I'm back. House File 2081 eliminates the requirement for practitioner preparation students to take and pass the Praxis II exam or the EDTPA exam prior to being eligible for licensure. I believe it was 6 years ago the House passed this legislation, but it failed to advance in the Senate. In 2020, we passed compromise legislation that allowed for a one-year exemption if the student had a job but couldn't pass the exam. Now we have the opportunity to eliminate totally any post-prep test. For 7 years, I've been advocating that our teacher prep institutions are grounded in establishing standards and have the ability to graduate qualified and capable teacher candidates. These exams they have been forced to take to gain a license had no bearing on their abilities, their knowledge, or their ability to become a quality teacher. In fact, it simply was a barrier for some and an added expense for all. 2081 simply eliminates the exam, and equally as important, all of Iowa's amazing teacher prep institutions shall now notify students who did not achieve the minimum score after one, two, three, or more tries and have not been licensed. All they will need to do is update their status with the BOEE and meet the necessary requirements, and they can be licensed. Those are my opening comments, Mr. Speaker. There are amendments.
There are amendments. The clerk will call up the First Amendment.
H8007 by Gobble of Polk.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Gobble, for opening remarks on H8007.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Moore, for bringing this bill forward. This amendment goes to a conversation we had on another bill dealing with the Praxis, where I was focused on getting our teacher prep candidates in front of students as quickly and as consistently as possible. So I wanted to look at the minimum hours in the teacher prep program where they would be in a classroom. I proposed 100 hours. Code right now says 50. When we discussed it with the Board of Regents, they told us right now administrative rules is at 80, code is at 50, but most colleges are already, or teacher prep programs are already doing 80. So this is just clarifying that our admin rules number of 80 is now going to be our Iowa code number of 80.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a good amendment, and I would ask for your support totally on this amendment.
The chair recognizes the lady from Marshall, Representative Cahill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I also agree with this amendment. It's a good one to match up the requirements. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Polk moves Amendment H8007. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. The clerk will call up the next amendment.
H8026 by Moore of Cass.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass for opening remarks on H8026.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, H8026 simply makes this bill effective upon enactment. That is very important because we've got all kinds of teacher prep students this spring that are looking for whether they have to take this exam and spend the $350 to $400 this spring for them to become licensed. So, Mr. Speaker, those are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Marshall, Representative Cahill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I agree that this is a bill that needs to be, as it is enacted, it needs to go into place, enacted as it is signed or when it is signed. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Cass moves Amendment H8026. All those in favor of its passage shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed shall vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. We're now on House File 2081 as amended. Is there a discussion? See, the chair recognizes the lady from Marshall, Representative Cahill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank Representative Moore for bringing this to the House. I have to admit that this bill and this legislation became very personal to me. I'm a Title I teacher in an elementary school in Marshalltown. And this fall, on the third day of school, I was called into my principal's office because one of our teachers, a second grade teacher, found out she had had the temporary license, but she found out that she had not passed her praxis test. She had to leave immediately because she was not appropriately licensed to teach. It became personal for me as I was directed that I would be the new long-term sub in that classroom. And what even made it more personal was that that class was taught in Spanish. Now, I don't claim to be fluent in Spanish, but I can speak it. But it was an exhaustingly and cognitively incredible experience for me for about 9 weeks. So this young lady who had had a year of successful teaching is waiting for us to pass this bill. She is back as a long-term sub in that classroom, but our superintendent even mentioned if this passes, he's going to have that contract ready for her to sign that very day. So I'm looking forward to this happening. Again, I appreciate Representative Moore bringing it forward. It is a good bill. We've learned we do not gauge our students on one point of data. We should not gauge our teachers there as well. A positive bill, please, I encourage you to vote for it. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Chair recognizes the gentleman from Cass, Representative Moore, for closing remarks on House File 2081.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Cahill, for those comments. I've been preaching that for 7 years. And finally, hopefully we can get this across the line. A couple things. I think it's important that we get this done for our students that we have right now in the school, in the teacher prep institutions. And I think it's important that we here in the House, after we pass this today, that we go to our senators and we say, we've got to have this so that we can combat this teacher shortage that we have. This will greatly help us in working towards that. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move House File 2081.
The gentleman from Cass moves the bill be read for the last time, placed on his passage. Are there objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2081, a bill for an act related to teachers, including the assessment administered by the Practitioners Preparation Program administration candidates and to the Practitioners Preparation Program students prior to students' completion of the Practitioner Preparation Program field experience and certain specified licenses for teachers created by the Board of Educational Examiners and including notice, effective date, and applicability provisions be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Jones, aye. Bohannon, aye. Hall, aye. Grassley, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine, receive your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 94. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque, Representative Lundgren, for opening remarks on Senate File 463.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we have seen this bill in the past. It's the Occupational Therapist Licensure Compact. We work with compact agreements all the time. We will be the 10th state to be part of this Occupational Therapist Licensure Compact Agreement. And Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the first amendment.
H1420 by Kaufman of Cedar.
The chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque for opening remarks on H1420.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this adds House File 500 that did pass the House unanimously in the past, and it adopts the Audiology and Speech Licensure Pathology Interstate Compact to this bill today. Those are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Blackhawk, Representative Brown Powers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill, and Shannon, I think we got it.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque moves amendment H1420. All those in favor of its passage shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed shall say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. We're now on Senate File 463 as amended. Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn, Representative Jardy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. I am really excited about this piece of legislation hopefully passing today, particularly with the amendment and it being added with the speech language pathology. I know the shortage that there is. Many of you have heard my story, my twin daughters needing speech language pathology. And I know both in schools and in private practice, there is an extreme shortage. And this piece of legislation is not just good for the state, it's good for the youth in our state that need many of these services. So I encourage the body to vote yes.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque for closing comments on Senate File 463.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 463, as amended with audiology and speech therapists, is good for the state of Iowa. We all know that we border other states. Some of those are also joining these compact agreements. Over in my neck of the woods in Dubuque, we border with Wisconsin and Illinois, and this will allow those therapists, both occupational and speech pathology and audiologists, to work interstate, and that gives us more access to better practitioners in the state. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the bill.
The lady from Dubuque moves Senate File 463 be read for the last time, placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 463, a bill for an act relating to occupational therapy licensure compact and the audiology and speech language pathology interstate compact being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Grassley, aye. Holt, aye. Bohannon, aye. Maxwell, aye. Gobble, aye. Busolo, aye. Jones, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and receive your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 94. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Winnebago, Representative Stone, for opening remarks on House File 2298.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House File 2298 is a bill that does not allow licensed child care centers, elementary, secondary, and post-secondary schools to require the COVID-19 vaccine for enrollment, whether virtual or in person. Mr. Speaker, this concludes my opening remarks on House File 2298.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Saragota, Representative Steckman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an interesting bill. It only talks about COVID immunization, not any other immunization. And I thought we were to stay out of private business. This tells private daycares, private K through 12, private colleges what they can do, what they can't do. So for that reason, and for kids' safety, I am a no on this bill and would encourage my caucus to be the same. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Chair recognizes the gentleman from Winnebago, Representative Stone, for closing comments on House File 2298.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the members of my subcommittee, Representatives Wheeler and Gaines. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I ask for House File 2298 to be read for the third and final time and placed on its passage.
The gentleman from Winnebago moves House File 2298 be read for the last time, placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2298, a bill for an act relating to the immunization against COVID-19 requirements for the enrollment of any licensed child care center, elementary or post or secondary school or post-secondary school in Iowa be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Height? Aye. Maxwell, aye. Gobble, aye. Wolf, no. Jacobson, aye. Meyer of Polk, no. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 57. Those voting no, 36. Absent or not voting, 7. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn, Representative McClintock, for opening remarks on House File 2356.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. At this time, I would ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 2176, which is identical to House File 2356.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn for opening remarks on Senate File 2176.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 2176 proposes to amend the current code sections for dealing with solid waste disposal and to change verbiage mostly related to adding sanitary before landfill and replacing multiple locations where variants and waivers exist. The second change repeals the code 28L establishing the state interagency Missouri River Authority that has been defunct since 2011 and repeals the code dealing with mercury-free recycling. This is code cleanup. Those are my opening remarks.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Blackhawk, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I sat on the subcommittee. I believe this is a good bill. I urge the body to vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn for closing remarks on Senate File 2176.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also wish to thank the members of the subcommittee, Representative Smith and Representative Sechrist, and I move the bill.
The gentleman from Lynn moves Senate File 2176 be read for the last time and placed on his passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 2176, a bill for an act related to the programs within the Department of Natural Resources, including specifications of procedures related to the solid waste disposal and the repeal of the state interagency Missouri River Authority and Mercury-Free Recycling Act be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Sunday, aye. Gobble, aye. Maxwell, aye. Jones? Aye. Jacobson? Aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 93. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 7. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Poshin, for opening remarks on House File 2340.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House File 2340 would allow municipalities to effectively and efficiently deal with alcohol establishments where a reoccurring public safety nuisance exists. This bill would allow cities to bring a case before the local district court when they believe a public safety nuisance exists in order to abate the nuisance. This would include illegal use of a weapon, assault of a person, or engaging in a riot on three separate occasions over a 12-month period. Restaurants are exempt. This bill is necessary because ABD can't get these bars closed. This bill came about after incidents in Davenport, Des Moines, and Council Bluffs. And the incident in Davenport that I'm most familiar with is a bar in downtown Davenport where they had shots fired, they had several fights. But over a three-year period from 2017 to 2019, they had 2,131 calls for service and extra patrols. The bar only closed after the landlord terminated the lease. Mr. Speaker, those are my opening remarks.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I urge your support of this particular bill. I know it might seem like it would be difficult to enforce. However, in talking to our cities, Davenport being one of them, they identify that the burden of proof is with the city. So they would have to prove and justify that these charges and the potential termination of the license was appropriate. One of the things that we are seeing in border cities to Illinois is local government has the authority to suspend an liquor license indefinitely. They can make that decision independently. It doesn't go to the alcohol beverage control decision-making, and in many cases, if their license has been suspended in Illinois, they just come over to Iowa knowing that it's a much more difficult situation to have bad actors who happen to have a liquor license to have that license suspended. We have tried time and time again on the one that finally closed, on the one business that finally closed. But local control is important. This does go to a district court. And again, it might be difficult to prove, and the language might seem a little, I don't know, inclusive. Maybe it covers too much area. But again, it would be the burden of proof of our local community to prove that there is a nuisance and to then have a district court determine the result of the license. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Even though the vast majority of my caucus will support this bill, you know, in my history, I've represented a few bars. I've frequented more than a few. If this is going to be a weapon in the arsenal of county attorneys and city attorneys, it's like a boomerang that won't come back. It is got less teeth than a hockey player. That's how I feel about the bill. It's classic code clutter. I just hope that I can convince maybe two or three other of our wise representatives here to support my position. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Posham, for closing comments on House File 2340.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to thank Representative Winkler for her comments on the bill. We realized, us from the Scott County area, that that was a big problem there in Davenport. I think it's inconscionable to allow a business with more than 2,000 calls for service to remain open. House File 2340 will help cities deal with this public safety problem. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the bill.
The gentleman from Scott moves House File 2340 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, clerk will read.
House File 2340, bill for an act relating to the public safety nuisance concerning licensed premise where alcoholic beverages, wine, or beer is sold or consumed, be it enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Sunday, aye. Gobble, aye. Pritchard, aye. Maxwell, aye. Pritchard is no now. Maxwell. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to results of the vote. Those voting aye, 74. Those voting no, 19. Absent or not voting, 7. The bill have received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman for Woodbury, Representative Bossman, for opening remarks on House File 2248.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. House File 2248 provides consumer education and transparency for those considering an ambulatory surgical center. It requires the referring physician to share the differences at the front end between hospitals and ambulatory surgical centers in the areas of ownership, medical personnel, capacity and capability, proximity to a hospital, and emergency transfer protocols.
Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Mahaska, Representative Brink.
I would just like to encourage everyone to vote yes for this bill. It provides a lot of transparency, and I feel that Iowans deserve to know the difference and make the best decision for themselves and their children. So I would just like to encourage everyone to vote yes.
The chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Nielsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. I would also ask people to support this bill. I think that having all of the information that you need to make a good healthcare decision is vital. So I support this and ask you all to as well.
Seeing no further discussion, Chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Bossman, for closing remarks on House File 2248.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, 15 years ago, I received a phone call from a distraught, confused family member awakening from surgery and being told that she needed to leave. The service that she had received was not the service that she thought it would be. So the point of this legislation is that if provided with all of the information, that perhaps she and others could make different healthcare choices. Maybe not, but at least they and everyone deserve to have all the information available to them.
The gentleman from Woodbury moves House File 2248 be read for the last time in place on its passage. Are there objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2248, a bill for an act relating to the information to be provided by the healthcare provider as part of the referral of the patient to an ambulatory surgical center and providing for licensee discipline being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Westrich, aye. Aye. Sunday, aye. Latham, aye. Jacobson, aye. Cisneros, aye. Maxwell, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 91. Those voting no, 1. Absent or not voting, 8. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Buena Vista for opening remarks on House File 2345.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House File 2345 is the extension of a sunset. Back in 2017, due to a particularly wily lawyer finding a loophole in the code as to the responsibilities of a motor carrier enforcement officer, we passed a new set of rules, laws that defined the responsibilities of a motor carrier enforcement officer. We put a sunset on that set of rules at that point in time due to ongoing negotiations on another front. We again extended that in 2018 for 3 years. Now that 3 years is up, there are still ongoing negotiations and considerations as to how we define the differences between a Department of Public Safety employee and a Department of Transportation enforcement employee. So this extends the rule for one more year. The governor has asked that we do this and has more or less promised that they will have a solution negotiated before this one expires. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Worthen did an excellent job of articulating the issue. If you were here in 2017, I believe this will be your fifth chance to vote on this subject. If you're here next year, it'd be my understanding you'll get another chance. So vote for this. I would advocate a yes vote. It's also a yes vote for the status quo. So thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Buena Vista for closing comments on House File 2345.
Thank you for your comments, Representative Hansen, and thankfully, I will not have a chance to vote on this for a sixth time. I move the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Buena Vista moves House File 2345 be read for last time placed on his passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2345, a bill for an act relating to Department of Transportation employees designated as peace officers and including effective date provisions be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Jones, aye. Westrich, aye. Pritchard, aye. Maxwell, aye. Dolichek, aye. Hall, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 90. Those voting no, 3. Absent or not voting, 7. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. Introduction of bills.
House File 2541 by Eisenhardt, a bill for an act requiring the contractors and subcontractors performing the work on housing program administration by the Iowa Finance Authority comply with applicable federal and state laws relating to labor and employment and providing penalties.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment. Refer to the Committee on Economic Growth.
Senate File 2325 by Committee on Commerce, a bill for an act related to the matters under the purview of the Economic Development Authority, including the high Quality Jobs Program, the Iowa Energy Center, the Workforce Housing Tax Incentive Program, and including effective date and retroactive applicable provisions.
First reading, the bill is now ready for committee amendment. Pass on file.
Senate File 2356 by Committee on Education, a bill for an act authorizing the Board of Districts of Directors of School Districts to engage certain specified individuals to serve without compensation as substitute teachers.
First reading, the bill is now ready for committee amendment. Refer to the Committee on Education. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Wojciechowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to immediately message the following bills of the Senate. House File 2081, 2248, 2345, 2298, 2340, and Senate File 463 and 2176.
Are there objections? Seeing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Wojciechowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the passage of House File 2298 and Senate File 2176, I ask for unanimous consent to withdraw House File 2040 and 2356.
Are there objections? Seeing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Wojciechowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That'll conclude floor debate for today. There will not be any scheduled floor debate tomorrow, but I would ask everyone to pay attention to the blue calendar that comes out tomorrow morning because we will have a heavy load for debate on Wednesday. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business come before the House this time, I move the House adjourn until Tuesday, March 1st at 8:30 a.m.
Is there any other business to come before the House? The chair recognizes the lady from Blackhawk, Representative Salmon. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Am I in order for a point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker?
It is that time of the day. You are in order. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am very disappointed to learn that Republican leadership has made remarks to the public that the House is not interested in considering criminal penalties for those who would insert pornographic materials into our children's educational resources. That couldn't be farther from the truth. I am letting the public know that I and others in the House are very interested in considering that. We need to make it a crime and provide a pathway for parents to bring a lawsuit if a school provides or requires pornographic materials to be used. It should not matter your occupation. Everyone should be required to protect children against pornography. It should not matter your location. Everyone, everywhere, should be required to protect children against pornography. Transparency requirements such as we are considering in proposals now are not enough protection against pornography inflicting harm on our children. They are woefully inadequate. They only fritter around the edges. We need much greater consequences than that. We need criminal and civil penalties for those who would provide or require pornographic materials to be used in our schools. We need a way for parents to bring a lawsuit so their children are protected. Do you know that right now, the way the law reads, schools and libraries are exempt from having to obey the obscenity laws? That's right. You and I are required to not give porn to a child, but schools and libraries are not. They can disseminate porn all day long to a child, and nothing in our law allows them to be prosecuted. This should not be allowed. Our children should be able to enjoy the equal protection of the law from everyone. Have we forgotten how dangerous pornography is for children? Are we so desensitized by our over-sexualized environment that we fail to recognize this? If anyone thinks that the school materials that are the subject of this debate are harmless, they are only fooling themselves. I would invite you to come by and I can show you these materials. Some have said these materials being questioned have literary and artistic value, and some of them have won awards. To people who say this, I would say, if I bake a cake and tell you I put 2 tablespoons of raw hog manure in it, but the rest of it is fine, would you eat the cake? I have seen this material, and I know most Iowans would say it is not suitable for minors. For those concerned about minority groups having stories they can identify with, they should find ones for those kids that are suitable and appropriate. They should be protected from pornography as much as anybody else. Pornography damages children and actually changes the physical functioning of the brain and causes an addiction. More intense viewing is needed to get the desired effect. As a mother who has raised three sons, I have firsthand knowledge of the dangers of pornography. It's no different than drugs or alcohol, and we wouldn't think of allowing those to be legalized for minors to use, but we're allowing something just as damaging and just as lethal, which pornography is, to be offered and used by minors in certain locations and from certain people. And just like drugs and alcohol, porn leads to mental health issues and to various types of crimes. There's a ton of research out there all documenting and proving this. It's government's primary responsibility to protect its people, especially the most vulnerable, impressionable, and innocent. That would be our children. Our main job is to protect them. If we don't implement stronger consequences than simply providing transparency, we are failing to protect our kids. Pornography is an equal opportunity destroyer, and it calls for an equally strong response from government. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque, Representative Lundgren. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And am I in order for an introduction?
You are in order.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I have a special guest with me today. It's my husband. He's usually back at our restaurant running things and cooking, but we are closed on Monday, so he has the opportunity to be here with me as we debate on the floor, which definitely does not happen very often. So I'd like you to give a warm house welcome to my husband, Charlie.
This chair, excuse me, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Abdul Samad. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Mr. Speaker, am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
You are in order.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, today is the last day of Black History Month, and I just wanted to thank individuals who participated and those who were here to listen to those individuals that gave us individuals the shoulders that they stand on. I hope that we all learn something, and that is something that we carry on not only now this 28th day of February, but we carry on the rest of the year, that we use it to learn about history, period, everyone's history, that one day, and I say this each year, that one day we will not have to just have an African American History Month, because it will be included in the history. And it'd be the history that would not only highlight African Americans, but would highlight the Chinese, Asians, everyone that has been a part of building this country. But until we reach that point, which may be a long time coming, but I think in the House, if we work on it, maybe we can offer some legislation to that, you know, or give some money to the school districts to make sure that our history books tell a true history, so that our babies grow up knowing about each other and the value that we have in each other. But again, I want to give my personal thank you to each and every one of you. And we know that March, starting tomorrow, is Women History Month. And I know we're not going to stand up and talk about women. I think we should, but we're not going to do that. But I think we should at least study, because the contribution of women in this country has also been undermined and has not been told the true story. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, you all heard the motion by the gentleman from Harrison. All those in favor of its passage shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed shall vote no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House is adjourned.